the Ditlev Pass incident. In February 1959, a search and rescue operation commenced across the northern Ural Mountains in Russia that included both army and police forces. They were searching for a group of 7 men and 2 women, all experienced in mountain expeditions, who had been missing for a number of days. Finally, on February 26th, the rescue team found the bodies of 5 of the 9 members, dead in the snow, with some of them having only one shoe, and others with no shoes. Their tent had apparently been cut open from the inside, with most of their clothes and belongings still inside. Footprints showed the group had all left the campsite of their own accord, and some had brutal physical injuries. Over 2 months later, the remaining 4 members were found, under 4 meters of snow, wearing some of their friends' clothing. So, what happened? Our tale begins in January of 1959, as 10 experienced mountaineers prepare for a ski trek across the Ural Mountains in northwestern Russia. The group was led by Igor Ditlev, and they had decided to use a Category 3 route, the most difficult. Ditlev had said that he would send a telegram back home as soon as they returned back to the settlement nearest the mountain. This was expected to be around February 12th, although Ditlev expected it to be later. The day after they began their march, one of the members was forced to go back due to illness, but the other 9 pressed on. On February 1st, the group began moving through the then-unnamed pass, planning to make camp on the other side. However, because of worsening weather conditions, the group lost their way and ended up heading westwards. After realizing their mistake, the group decided to camp on the slope of the mountain rather than moving backwards down the slope to a forested area. Jumping forward to February 12th, no messages were received from the Ditlev group via telegram, but this was not considered especially unusual. However, by February 20th, relatives of the group members demanded that a search and rescue operation be commenced. As most of the group were either students or graduates of the Urals Polytechnical Institute, the head of the institute asked for any volunteer students and teachers to assist the search. Shortly after, the army and police became involved. Finally, on February 26th, the group's campsite was discovered, with no bodies present. Their tent was found half torn down and covered in snow, and investigators later determined that it had been cut open from the inside with a sharp object. The group's belongings and shoes had been left behind. A trail of 8 or 9 sets of footprints led away from the campsite, seemingly made by people wearing only socks or barefoot. The trail led the search team to find another small campsite nearly a mile to the northeast, on the edge of a forest. Here they found the first 2 bodies, both shoeless and dressed only in their underwear. The branches of the tree next to the campfire were broken up to 15 feet high, suggesting investigators to think someone had climbed the tree to look at something in the distance, possibly the original campsite. Further searching discovered 3 more bodies between the original campsite and the forest, in poses suggesting they were on their way back to the campsite. The 3 bodies were found separately, each over 100 meters from one another. The remaining 4 bodies took over 2 months to find, finally locating them on May 4th under 13 feet of snow, in a ravine 75 meters further into the woods. These 4 bodies were all dressed better than the other 5, and signs suggested that they had taken clothing from those that had died first. Notably, there was also a camera found around one of the bodies' necks. The camera was not listed as part of their equipment, but it was reported to have been damaged by water. Medical examinations of the 9 bodies made the case even more baffling. The first 5 bodies were found to have died from hypothermia. However, one of them had a small crack in his skull, and abrasions to his face and arms. In contrast, 3 of the 4 later bodies were found to have died by fatal injuries, one with major skull damage, and 2 with major chest fractures. According to the examiner, the force required to cause these injuries would be comparable to a car crash, far beyond anything a human would be capable of. To further confuse things, these injuries showed no damage to soft tissue, as if they had been caused by a high degree of pressure rather than an external force. As an exception, one of the bodies was found to have major external injuries, missing her tongue, eyes, part of her lips, facial tissue, and a fragment of skull bone. She also had extensive maceration on her hands, and it was claimed that these external injuries were in line with decomposition in a wet environment. Further investigations revealed more confusing facts about the deaths. There was no indication that there was anyone nearby the group in their campsite at the time, including other hikers as well as the indigenous people living in the mountains. Some of the clothing of the victims showed high degrees of radiation, and no information was officially released regarding the condition of their internal organs. A 12-year-old boy, who later would start a foundation regarding the incident, remarked that some of the bodies had a strange brown tan at their funerals. Another group of hikers around 50 kilometers to the south of the incident reported seeing strange orange spheres in the northern sky on the night of the incident. Similar reports cropped up between February and March of that year. The inquest officially closed in May of 1959 with the absence of a guilty party, and the verdict was that the group members all died as a result of a compelling natural force. The files were sent to a secret archive, with copies finally being made available in the 1990s, although some parts were missing. In 1967, a book was released by a journalist who had been part of the search and investigation. The book avoided anything that wasn't officially stated, and heavily romanticized the incident, saying that only Dytlov was found deceased. His colleagues say that he had alternate versions of the novel, but both were denied due to censorship. As of his death, all of his information has been lost. Later interest in the case caused the leader of the inquest to write an article stating that the investigators had no explanation for the incident, and that his team had also seen flying spheres, but he was ordered to dismiss the claim. The Dytlov Foundation was set up to preserve the memories of the hikers, as well as to convince Russian officials to reopen the investigation. So far, they've had no success. So, to answer the question of what happened, well, no one quite knows. A number of theories have been thought up to explain the series of events, but none are complete. The thought that an avalanche was responsible was initially popular, but has a number of flaws. The investigation showed no signs that an avalanche had occurred, such as certain specific patterns and debris, as well as the area itself not being likely to have an avalanche, especially in February. Furthermore, a group of experienced mountaineers would not have camped anywhere near where an avalanche would be possible. A recent theory suggests that a rare pattern of specific wind movements against the nearby mountain caused something known as infrasound. Infrasound is reportedly capable of causing feelings of anxiety, panic, and terror while being unconsciously heard. This wouldn't account for the extreme injuries or the radiation, however. Of course, there are wilder theories to explain the events, including cryptozoological threats, aliens, and military testing. The concept of a Russian Yeti killing the group is highly unlikely, as once again it wouldn't explain the lack of damage to soft tissue or the radiation. A military cover-up certainly is possible, with some sort of secret weapon testing being involved. Some believe that the bodies were moved after the fact, as well as photos showing the tent appearing to be set up incorrectly. This would also account for the radiation, as well as possibly the orbs or spheres that were seen in the sky. And perhaps the wildest theory, that aliens were responsible, is sort of a lack of an explanation. It is something that we can neither prove nor disprove, and so it merits little discussion. In the end, we will likely never know exactly what happened that night in 1959, and so I leave it up to you to decide for yourself. Regardless of your thoughts on the matter, the incident certainly remains one of the more interesting events of recent history, and shows that there is indeed plenty of mystery in our world.